The day of the Lord. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labour pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing.
So thank you for reading. Thank you so much. And thanks to Michael for the invitation to be with you this morning in Green Island. I've really enjoyed the worship. So thank you to the band and others who have been leading us. We left Woodlands early October, and it's been a bit of a journey, to be honest. So it's lovely, really lovely, lovely. Do you get the message here? It's really nice. It's really nice to be here with you this morning. And I don't know where Caleb is. I don't know if Caleb is still in the building or he's gone. Caleb, I am in awe of you. To be able to jump, what was it, 1.95 meters or something like that there? Absolutely outstanding, my friend. My youngest son scored a late winner for Cliftonville against Newry a couple of weeks ago. And between me and the pitch, Caleb, there was a wall about 1 meter high. Well, you can work the rest out for yourselves. As I was thinking about this morning, a song came into my mind. It's a song that was recorded and released way back, actually, in 1979. And it's lovely to be able to say this in church. So a song that was recorded and released before many of you were even born. It's a song called Slow Train Coming. And it was released by a fella called Bob Dylan. There's a slow, slow train coming up around the bend. Now, probably as with many songs, there are as many opinions as to what the train represents, as we say, as you've had hot dinner. Some people believe the train is the American dream, maybe with a bit of outrage and anger thrown in for good measure. For some people, the train is an affirmation of America's greatness. So depending on how you look at it, the train represents societal and moral change, spirituality, redemption, the complexities of life. One expert even feels that Dylan was singing about Ronald Reagan. For others, the train is an expression of Dylan's at the time newfound beliefs, his relationship with God, his quest for salvation in a world filled with turbulence and uncertainty, his yearning, if you like, for something greater, a spiritual refuge amidst the chaos of the modern world. And the slow train in the song then is bringing with it salvation and writing to some kind of promised land that is actually worth a listen sometime if you've nothing better to do. There's a slow, slow train coming up around the bend. When Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them. When Paul writes in verse 9, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul could not be more clear. For those who heard his words the first time, and for us hearing his words today, two things are coming up around the bend. Two things, if you like, are coming down the track. They are coming down the track and around the corner, around the bend, at exactly the same time. They are coming together. And Paul tells us that they will arrive with us in the moment of Jesus' return. What Paul calls in verse 2, the day of the Lord. Paul is in absolutely no doubt, nor should we be. The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord is coming. He, Jesus, is coming. Maybe worth a thought sometime this week as to when you last actually thought about the fact that Jesus is coming again. He is coming, folks, the Bible says, Mark 13:26, with power and glory. You folk heard it read here last Sunday, 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Revelation 1:7, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. He is coming with his angels, the Bible says, with 10,000s of his holy ones in the glory of his Father. He is coming, Luke 17, as lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other. He will be revealed, the Bible says, from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. First time around, how silently the wondrous gift is given. Not this time. 325 days, incidentally, to Christmas. O little town in Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Not this time. The Bible says the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. Listen to this. You're in your car driving home. Thoughts wander to the game you want to see or the meal you want to eat, when suddenly a sound unlike any you have ever heard fills the air. The sound is high above you. A trumpet. A choir, maybe a choir of trumpets. You don't know, but you want to know. So you pull over, get out of the car, and look up. As you do, you see that you aren't the only curious one. The roadside has become a car park. Car doors are open, and people are everywhere staring at the sky. Shoppers are racing out of the supermarket. The kids' football match across the street has been abandoned. Players and parents are searching the clouds. And what they see, and what you see, has never been seen before. As if the sky were a curtain, the drapes of the atmosphere part, a brilliant light spills onto the earth. There are no shadows, none. And from whence came the light begins to tumble a river of color, spiking crystals of every hue ever seen and a million more never seen. Riding on the flow is an endless fleet of angels. They pass through the curtains, one myriad at a time, until they occupy every square inch of the sky, north, south, east, west. Thousands of silvery wings rise and fall in unison. And over the sound of the trumpets, you can hear the cherubim and the seraphim chanting, "Holy, holy, holy." The final flank of angels is followed by 24 silver bearded elders and a multitude of souls who join the angels in worship. Presently, the movement stops and the trumpets are silent, leaving only the triumphant triplet, "Holy, holy, holy." Between each word is a pause, with each word a profound reverence. And you hear your voice joining the chorus. You don't know why you say the words, but you know you must. And then suddenly the heavens are quiet. All is quiet. Angels turn, you turn, the entire world turns, and there he is. Jesus. Through waves of light, you see the silhouetted figure of Christ the King. He is atop a great stallion, and the stallion is atop a billowing cloud. He opens his mouth, and you are surrounded by his declaration, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." The angels bow their heads, the elders remove their crowns, and before you is a figure so consuming that you know, you just know, instantly you know, nothing else matters. Forget interest rates, forget school reports, forget sales meetings, forget football games, nothing is newsworthy. For all that mattered, matters no more, for Christ has come. And folks, Paul is in no doubt, and nor should we be, the day of the Lord will come. As to the time, of course, the exact time, day, date, nobody knows. Many would love to know. Many think they've worked it out. Many have been horribly wrong. Nobody knows. No one, that is, the Bible says, except the Father, not even the Son. But this much we know, he will come suddenly. The day of the Lord, Paul says, verse 2, will come suddenly like a thief in the night, at an hour when you're not expecting it, without warning. There will be signs for sure. Things to look for that must and will happen first, 100%. But his coming will nonetheless, Paul says, be sudden. He will come when we're not expecting it. He will come suddenly, Paul says. Apologies for bringing this up, girls. He will come as labor pains come on a pregnant woman. Labor pains, expected, unexpected, unavoidable. Let me be brutally honest. I don't know if any of the dads in here can recognize this or not. On my first ever visit to a delivery suite, 36 years ago, on December the 29th, just passed, I am not ashamed to say I was not looking forward to it. I was nervous to the power of 10. Truth be told, when the nurse asked me there what I was looking for, I was looking for the safest place to fall. I thought, as sure as shooting, when this kicks off, I'm going to be out like a light. Where's a good place about here to fall without breaking my head open? I need not have worried, lads. We were expecting twins. And when you're expecting twins, there is gas, there is air, there is morphine, pethidine, diamorphine, epidural, the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, the whole job lot were there. should have seen the stuff Pam was getting. It was a gift. I should rephrase that if I want any dinner. It looked like a gift. Second time around, 1992, 27th of September, no twins, no epidural, no nothing. And when the pains came and the yelling started, I'm like, what? Labour pains. As labour pains, Paul says, come upon a pregnant woman. My guess is that Paul says what he says because there's very little, if anything, you can do to avoid them or control them or stop them. He will come suddenly. And so Paul says, in effect, Jesus is coming in a moment when many are not expecting it and so will be taken unawares by it. Luke 17, folks, Jesus says, on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, on the day when suddenly, that was a day when suddenly fire and sulfur rained down from heaven. Jesus says people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. You get the message? Normal day. And the fire and sulfur destroyed them all. And Jesus says, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus said, folks, right up until the day when Noah entered the ark, it was business as usual. People everywhere, Jesus says, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Some of them, no doubt, ignorant. Some of them, unbelieving. Some of them, oblivious, unaware, unprepared for what was coming. And so it will be, Jesus says. Homework and housework, on the way to work and on the way home. First half, second half, shopping and shaving, in hospital or on holiday. It will be business as usual. And Paul says here, sudden destruction will come upon them. And folks, listen to this. And they will not escape. He is coming suddenly, the Bible says. And folks, he is coming soon. In fact, the Bible says Jesus is at the door. Coming slowly, coming steadily, coming surely, and coming soon. So here it is, this slow train coming, coming round the bend. Two things, Paul says, coming down the track, coming round the bend. Coming round the bend and coming down the track at the same time, together. They will arrive with us at the moment of Jesus' return. They will arrive with us bang on time. And the two things about which Paul is speaking, folks, are polar opposites. On the one hand, Paul says, what is coming down the track and round the bend is salvation. And on the other hand, what is coming down the track and round the bend is wrath or destruction. You good people in Green Island this morning, if you are not in Christ, here's what is coming. Wrath. If you are in Christ, hold tight. Here's what's coming. Salvation. First of all, wrath, Paul says, coming round the bend. Anger, if you like. Vengeance. That is God's settled anger. The wrath that rises up from God's ongoing, fixed, settled opposition to everything that is evil. Not the kind of sudden outburst that I am all too capable of. but rather God's fixed, controlled, passionate feeling against what is sinful and what is evil. John Stott calls this the fearful condemnation our sins deserve. Folks, the Bible is crystal clear on this. God will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. The world shall appear before the tribunal of Christ to give account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. The Bible is crystal clear on all who do not know God and who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks, on you. If you do not obey God and obey, know God and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, on all, the Bible says, who have refused to love the truth and so be saved, God will inflict vengeance. They shall be cast into eternal torments and punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Two things coming round the bend and down the track. One of them, destruction, ruin, doom, death, loss. Not as some would have you believe, annihilation or extinction, but eternal destruction. To be forever shut out from the presence of God. Green Island, this is serious stuff. Paul is here in 1 Thessalonians echoing the cry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. As we read in chapter 13, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty it will come. Therefore all hands will be feeble and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. Behold, Isaiah says, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. From the stars, he writes, for the stars of the heavens and their constellation will no longer give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising and the moon will not shed its light. Zephaniah 1:14-18. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. And the sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. And the mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day. A day of distress and anguish. A day of ruin and devastation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet blast and battle cry. God says, I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung, and neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. And Michael Wiley didn't bring me here today to tell lies. I got to tell you, folks, I believe this with all my heart. And Paul says, if that day finds you or finds me to be without Christ, if on that day you are not a Christian, listen to me, folks. Paul says, you will be without excuse and you will be without escape. There will be nowhere to hide. There will be no way out and there will be no hope. Yeah, we're here today celebrating and worshiping and giving praise to our great God, because here and now there is a way out. Yeah? Here and now there is a way of escape. Here and now there is somewhere to go. Yeah? There is a fountain filled with blood. Here and now the blood has not lost its power. Yeah? Here and now, in this world, we have the gospel of Jesus that tells me that Christ not only took flesh and came into my world, but that Christ bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Indeed, that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin. So he was spotless and he was perfect. But God made him sin. And then the Bible says, not only did he become flesh, and not only did God make him sin, but the punishment that brings us peace was upon him. That's the gospel. Jesus bore the punishment that should be mine. The righteous anger of God at my sin fell not upon me, but on Jesus. And so Michael is able to stand here, and Phil is able to stand here, and the likes of an old donkey like me is able to stand here and say to you, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever your story, whatever nobody else knows about you, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, thanks for coming. Great to have you here. Great to have you here. Go home without whatever you like. Go home without your umbrella if you brought one. Go home without your handbag, girls, if you brought one. Go home without whatever you like. Go home without your wife, fellas. If you came in here without Jesus, don't go home without him. Michael Williams will sit with you all day. Explain to you how to call on the name of the Lord. I'm not going to lie to you. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that coming round the bend, coming down the track, is the wrath of God, eternal destruction. If you're a Christian, you listen to me. It's coming on this community. It's coming on your neighbors. Coming on our friends and family. Coming on our teammates. Coming on your customers. Coming on your teachers. And if they don't know Jesus, all these people, not one of them will escape. Remember what Paul said, it was so beautifully read for us. If you're a Christian, thank God today. You're not in the dark anymore. Yeah? You see all this. You know all this. You know what the dangers are. You know what's coming. You're in the light. And that light hasn't been given to you and invested in you and entrusted in you just for you. So you could go about your day-to-day life thinking, I'm all right, Jack. It's been entrusted to you and invested in you, and you've been blessed with that light. To go back into the darkness. Help others to see. Boy, I tell you what, God forbid, yeah? Agree with me? God forbid anybody living a stone's throw from this lovely sanctuary would have caused on the day when this all comes to fruition to say to somebody in this church, ever told me about this? Nobody ever knocked the door and said, here, do you know what's coming down the lane? God forbid, yeah. Anybody be able to come here and say that? Be able to come and knock Michael's door, ring Michael's bell or whatever he's got in the door and say, big man, you talk to me about identity. Talk to me about purpose. Told me God loved me and had a wonderful plan for your life. Never told me this. Never told me this was coming. Huh? Bonnie here. I told you. My mere dinner time. I better wrap us up here. But you know what? Hey, listen to me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Because something else is coming. Yeah. Something else is coming down the line. Something else is coming round the corner. There's a slow, slow train coming round the bend. Two things coming together. Going to get here in the moment when Jesus returns and are coming bang on time. One of them, absolutely. We can't not talk about it, folks. One of them is wrath. The other one is salvation. The Bible says, Hebrews 9:28, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sin of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Am I the only one who is mad excited about this? Yeah? Once to take away sin. If you're struggling, if you're holding on by your fingertips, don't quit. Salvation is coming. Deliverance is coming. Rescue is coming. Final, full, forever deliverance. If you're in Christ, deliverance from the very presence of sin. If you're in Christ, deliverance from this common wrath that we've been talking about. If you're in Christ, deliverance from eternal destruction that every single one of us deserve. Tell me you're looking forward to it. Yeah? Tell me you're looking forward to it. Tell me you're looking forward to being delivered like I am from this body of death. Yeah? Some of you may be familiar with this. Romans 7, Paul talking. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep on doing. Anybody recognize me? Should do. Anybody recognize themselves? Listen to what Paul says. For I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate. Yeah? Been there? I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep on doing. Yeah? I find, Paul says, every single day, a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I delight in the law of God and my inner being, but I see in my members another law. Yeah? Waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched and miserable man that I am. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm done with this. Who will deliver me? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Well, hold tight, Paul. There's a slow, slow train coming round the bend. bringing salvation. Yeah, I'm sure you recognize this, don't you? I certainly do. I would rise early. I would pray consistently. I would love lavishly. I would give generously. I would care deeply. I would walk humbly. I would forgive quickly. I would do justly. I would win and lose graciously. I would suffer courageously. I would witness boldly. I would watch my boys play football quietly. But the things I would, Paul says, I often don't. Me too. The very thing I hate, he says, the evil I do not want, I keep on doing. The lies I hate, the lust I hate, the arrogance and bitterness I hate, the prejudice I hate, the greed I hate. Good job, I'm saying this after you invited me. You wouldn't have brought me otherwise. How long have you got? All too often they're the very things I keep on doing. Goodness, who will deliver me? Well, listen, someday, really soon, coming round the bend, coming down the track, salvation, deliverance from this body of death. Don't quit. Keep going. Someday, really soon, deliverance not only from this body of death, someday, really soon, deliverance out of this broken world. Yeah, boy, the world is broken to bits, isn't it? This world of ours, I spend a few hours a week, at the minute maybe more than a few, with the homeless community in Belfast. I'm going to tell you, this world is broken to bits. We're seeing young girls in their early 20s dying on our streets. Dying on the streets of your capital city. Don't give up. Salvation is coming. Deliverance from this broken world. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. You're familiar, I'm sure, with a beautiful song called Is He Worthy? Or He Is Worthy. The song says, do you feel the world is broken? Of course we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? You bet we do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new every single day? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. Bruce Springsteen has a version of When the Saints Go Marching In that says, now some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. When the new world is revealed. Lord, how I want to be there in that morning when the new world is revealed. Yeah? Hold tight. Coming down the track. Coming around the bend. Deliverance from this broken world. People ask me all the time now, I'm at that stage, how many grandchildren do you have? You know, you're nobody apart from I'm so-and-so's granda. And I say to people all the time, I have six. I have one on the way, four here, and one in heaven. I tell you, this old granda is looking forward to a day. When there be no miscarriages, and there be no regrets, be no road traffic accidents, be no Alzheimer's, no cancer, no grief, no betrayal. You fill in the blanks. Believe it with all my heart, coming round the bend, coming down the track is deliverance from this world that is broken, broken to bits. And if you're anything like me, and I better wrap this up, or I'll never be back. I'll probably never be back. I better wrap this up. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you're glad to know today that coming round the bend and coming down the track, there is deliverance, salvation, not only from this body of death, not only from the brokenness that is all around us, but from the battle. From the battle in which we've been engaged every step of the way since we came to Christ. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say," I'm sure it'd be perfectly fine for you to shout amen here, by the way, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For once and for all, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Tell me I'm not the only one who'd be glad to see the back of him. Yeah? Tell me I'm not the only one who'd be glad it's done. Tell me I'm not the only one who'd be going right at the front of the crowd, slap it right up you. Slap it right up you. So look, there's a slow train coming round the bend. Coming down the track. Wrath, for sure. Salvation. Salvation to those who are waiting for Jesus. Whatever else you're doing, make sure you're waiting for Jesus. Make sure you're waiting for him.